Good morning. The first reading from the Old Testament is Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord ordained his blessing, life evermore. Too many footnotes. The New Testament reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning in chapter 4. Let no evil come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may be grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all your bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Thank you, Bob. Does anyone still have their Bible open to Psalm 133? Anybody? Psalm 133? Yeah. What's it say under? It says Psalm 133. Then what does it say after that underneath?
Blessedness of unity.
What does it say after that?
A song of ascents.
A song of ascents. We're all about music today, so we're going to talk about ascents. We're going to talk about this wonderful psalm of ascents that says how good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Like precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron. Aaron is the first priest. And so oil on the head and running down the beard of Aaron is a very generous anointing. Now, you might think of oil on the head as ew, but imagine you've just been out in the desert for hours and hours and everything about you is dry and chapped. That oil on the head is, ooh, refreshing, rejuvenating, health-giving. And kindred living together in unity is rejuvenating, refreshing, and life-giving to our head priest, to the one who runs our religion, or the first origins of our religion. Not the one who runs it, that would be God. But by extension, that unity, if we find it, is pleasing to God. It's a song of ascents, it says. What is a song of ascents? A song of ascents is a group of psalms. Remember, the psalms are the first soul music. They were written as poetry and as song. And they were used in worship quite often in the ancient days, just as they are to this day. And a song of ascents is a particular small section of psalms that were recited and sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, on the way to the temple. Now, the temple was built up on a mount, on a hill, so it was up there a ways. Everyone came from far and wide to go to the temple on what a good Roman Catholic would call a day of obligation. There were certain days where you were expected, as a faithful person, to get yourself to the temple in Jerusalem. And on your way, you would sing these songs, and they would focus you in for worship when you got there. And you would see the gold-plated dome of the temple shining in the sun, and your heart would lift to see this, and you would be singing things like how good and pleasant it is when kindred spirits get along. So, there is some message in our psalm this morning that the priests and the writer, David, wanted all of us faithful to absorb and take in. And I believe that message might be, learn how to get along on your way to church. Now, how many of you have ever driven children to church? I'm sure you've never had anything but sunshine and lollipops on that drive, right? We used to play Beat the Cross when we were worshiping down in South Carolina, especially at the Catholic Church. Beat the Cross is, as long as you're in the pew, before the acolyte passes that pew, you are on time. And rushing to church was always, oh boy, just shoe leather and squealing tires and Shut up back there. We're getting there so we can be at peace. And there's worse than that too. This psalm, Psalm 133, and the idea of kindred spirits getting along, you can't always get along with everybody, can you? There are times when you don't see eye to eye. And this psalm suggests to us what elsewhere in the Bible will be suggested over and over and over again. Make peace with your brother and sister before you come to the altar of God. Make peace first. So these pilgrims, they're hot, they're tired, they're dusty. They're walking along. The kids are making all sorts of noise in the back seat of the cart. And they're singing this song saying, make peace first. And I got to think a few of them are thinking, oh yeah, Brother Levi, Sister Mary, and settling things before they get to worship. Now, I want you to think further than this. When the Bible talks about heaven, what do they say we're going to do? We're going to sing in the choir triumphant, right? Praises to God, right? In essence, my friends, we're all on our way to church. We're all ascending. We're all moving toward God. And we're singing on the way, all about forgiveness, all about working together, all about finding a way to do God's will. Now that starts to get sobering. Because that means our mission in life is not the path of least resistance, is not the path of right, but of righteous. And the path of righteousness involves a whole lot of legwork, a whole lot of thinking, and a whole lot of forgiveness. And it takes creativity sometimes to do this. It takes a great deal of creativity and patience and hard work to find a way to live in harmony with someone who you find incredibly discordant, doesn't it? But this is what we're talking about. This is why we're gathered here today, is for that very reason. And the truth is, we become addicted to conflict in our world, and especially today in our world. Sorry, 24/7 news cycle, not the band. The 24/7 news cycle and the need to show everything as a racehorse or a wrestling match. And the need for us to define ourselves as not that. This is fomented, it's encouraged, it's created in a way by our culture. And God help us, by our religious institutions as well. How many different branches of Christianity are there? And I don't know about you, but as part of my seminary training, I did a lot of research into what split us. And in general, it's goofy stuff. Dare I say, stupid stuff. Well, you come up the aisle and you move to the left to the pulpit. We move to the right to the pulpit. Well, you don't even come up the aisle. Well, you believe in baptizing little babies when they don't even know what's going on. Well, you decide to wait forever until you baptize. And on and on and on. And we get these little chunks of here, 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 and here. And it ends up being like two blades of grass arguing which one is closest to the sun. Creative engagement is what's necessary, and a commitment not to conflict, but to harmony is important. Now, so often what is required for human beings to come together and see similarities instead of differences is another outsider. So often. Think about what we're coming up on 10 years from 9/11/2001. There was not a Republican or Democrat in the country. There was not black, white, yellow, red. There was everyone coming together and thinking and feeling, hurting and sharing and caring as one. And look at us 10 years later. And look how lousy we are doing. We almost shut down everything within the last few weeks because everybody refused to move. There's creative ways to get around this. And I think it begins, I just watched X-Files last night, it begins with invaders from outer space. I think that is a great hope for our nation and our world. They should be ugly and either dressed as clowns or spiders, something a lot of people find threatening. No. But what if, instead of needing a threat so we could circle our wagons, what if instead of that, we just found creative ways to approach the truth that's inside us all? And that's biblical. Very biblical. I will write the truth on their hearts. Straight from God to us. Well, big picture's easy. You can say, yes, we should all get along with the Muslims. There ain't a Muslim within 20 miles of here right now. That's too easy. We should all get along with each other. And we should find a way to do it, to creatively engage with each other. Now, getting along with each other doesn't mean just laying down and being a floor mat. Getting along with each other doesn't mean always biting your tongue. Getting along with each other means recognizing the goodness and humanity in another person, and if you have to disagree, find a way to disagree that's constructive. And I want to give you a great example from my own life that happened right down the road here in a beautiful big yellow farmhouse and in the barns behind. My friend Rob and I each had gotten brand new wrist rocket slingshots. Now, if you've ever known a man who's gotten a new hammer, you know everything looks like a nail. And if you're a 12-year-old boy with a wrist rocket slingshot, everything's a target. And we went around that farm, that 1 square mile farm, hitting every target we could find until finally it dawned on us that there were pigeons in the barn. And so we went into the barn and we started shooting pigeons. And we killed quite a few pigeons. Boom, 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 shooting them. And at some point, Leslie, Rob's mother, has got to be thinking, I have not seen or heard anything from those boys in hours. Rob! And Rob and I come from the barn. We're all excited. What are you doing, boys? We're shooting pigeons. Now, before this event happened to me, if I had grown up without what would follow, this is what I would have done if my son came to me saying, we've been shooting pigeons. Murderer! Why would you do that? How can you be so cruel? I've raised you better than that. How can you be so nasty? I'm so ashamed. Leslie, if any of you have ever eaten at her table, is one of the finest chefs we have in this region. This woman can cook. And she said, boys, go get the pigeons. And we went and got the pigeons, and she said, Corey, call your mom and tell her you're staying for dinner tonight. Now, they got this delicacy called squab. Those pigeons haven't been running around in the manure and out in the barns, let me tell you. This woman, who is such a great cook, cooked up these birds for us, and she made them nasty. And we sat down to the worst meal I've ever eaten in my life. Oh, I felt so sick. You know, it's one of those with the room swimming. And, thank you, Mrs. Gehring. No, I don't want any more. No, really, I don't. Okay. She was upset that these two boys turned into murderers. She was upset that for no other reason than to get our kicks, we were killing living things. And she recognized that we were two boys, that we had made a terrible mistake, that we had messed up in a way that needed correction. And if she had screamed at us and sent me home, who knows, I might have ended up grounded. I might have ended up losing my wrist rocket. But I would not have learned a vital lesson that this woman, former head of the school board of Bloomfield Central School, taught to me. Sure, she taught me that it's wrong to kill an innocent creature for no good reason. Beyond that, she taught me, when you are met with something reprehensible, find something redeeming in the person who has committed the assault against you and turn them in a way that you don't lose them forever. This is what Leslie did for me. She was so wise. And she did it for Rob too, who is now a medical doctor who specializes in alleviating people's pain. That one little incident created a tenderness and a spot in my heart that otherwise might not have been there, or might have been learned in an even harder lesson later. This is what is meant by being good and pleasing when kindred get along. Not that you just bite your tongue, not that you just go all namby-pamby, not that you don't have standards, but that you recognize in the other person they are human. They have a certain wisdom. They have a certain goodness. And rather than focusing on that which makes you different, that which you find reprehensible, focus on that which is redeemable. On that which is noble. On that with which you can get along and work. How good and pleasant it is when kindred find a way to get along. How marvelous it is when we don't resort to violence in deed or in thought. When we don't play the game of difference, of I don't have to listen to them because they're not like me. How good and pleasant it is and pleasing to our religion, to our Savior, to our God, when we get creative instead. Put away the horse race. End the wrestling match. And find a way to stand side by side and love and work and be as one in harmony. Amen.